All right, we are recording.
Good morning. It's Tuesday, September 17th at 10:10 in the morning. We do not have a quorum just yet. We will proceed with items not requiring a vote. And when our third member comes, we will then open up for quorum-type questions. I have first the introduction of guests. Would you like to introduce yourself for the record?
Stephanie Choulet with Talcor.
And we have only one guest. Is there any public comment that we're aware of?
We did not receive any.
None? And are there any modifications to the agenda? And I hear none of those. Let's just review the budget committee meeting. We did not have a budget committee in 2023, so we go all the way back to 2022 to review those minutes. Probably Peggy and I and Stephanie, Bill, and we're the only ones at that meeting. But quickly, if you see anything that should be omitted, added, deleted, modified, please notify the chair by yelling out.
I read them. I didn't see anything, but we can't approve them, can we?
We cannot approve them just yet. Okay. Let's look at the calendar for budget approval.
Good work, Dave. You're moving around. I like it.
Yeah. The calendar for the budget approval, you have two meetings proposed. One is for the executive committee to look at it after we do our work here today. That's the Thursday meeting, September the 19th. And then we'll take it to the full board for the October 3rd approval. Does anyone have conflicts or concerns over those dates? We'll come back and approve those then shortly.
Does those need to be approved, or is that just the schedule as it stands?
It doesn't hurt to approve it.
Okay.
Does not require approval. Okay, then it is so stated and established, the dates of September 19th and October 3rd. Are there any recommendations to the draft budget? Well, we'll get to that in a minute. Let's see here. Any new business to come
there
before
us?
There she is. Good morning. Good morning, good morning.
How you doing?
Doing, running, sorry.
Running fast and furious. We are down to the approval of the prior minutes. As I motioned, or as I mentioned a moment ago, there was no meeting in 2023, so we go all the way back to 2022. Members around the room have reviewed that. Chairs ask for a vote to approve those minutes. I hear a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Those signifying by saying aye, approving?
Aye.
And no objections, they are so approved. I will now ask staff to come up and make some presentations of the budget. I will just comment before he begins is that this is a challenging time in which we have really no history to go on to speak of. We are approaching a whole new era. So staff has prepared some assumptions as best they can and put together a budget that deemed to be conservative. And then we will proceed with that understanding. I call upon our executive director to make his presentation.
All right, and I'm going to do it a little bit order. I messed up in the way you got the package, so the last page of your package is what I want to talk about. And that's going to be kind of where we are year to date. If you recall, we put a budget together. We did have a budget for last year. So the very last page, just quickly, just to highlight a couple things. Remember, it's broken into the RDA, the labs, and then a consolidated. And just to highlight a couple things, revenue, this is through July for the fiscal year. We're about 90 grand ahead of where we thought we'd be. Operating expenses were 105,000 under where we thought we'd be. The net impact of that is we're still running ahead of budget at the RDA level, operating level, which is really the buildings and the operations side. North Florida Innovation Labs, you'll notice the top there, we're $504,000 behind on revenue for the year. Now remember, that contemplated $500,000 of sponsorship revenue, none of which came in. So that is the primary element. And if you recall, last year I put together a budget that showed us with and without any sponsorship revenue. So yeah, this but what we put here in front of everybody included all that revenue. The good news is we're $624,000 below our operating expenses for the lab. That is a function of two things. One, we did not really get control of the lab until several months later than originally planned, and we didn't hire a bunch of staff to operate the lab. The consolidated impact of both of those things is that we are about $250,000 ahead of where we thought we'd be as of July.
It means the loss is less than we
much
thought
less. Yep. Yeah. Yeah, and remember, that's comparing to an NFL only having a modest loss of $174,000 last year. Really, the real number with no, we're really about $800,000 better than we were, because remember, we had $500,000 of sponsorships in there, so yeah. That was the most Pollyannish scenario. The other thing, just to briefly touch on before we get into specifics, we anticipated that we would end up with cash at this point in the year, I think originally around $900,000, we're much higher than that.
We're going to be like $500,000.
Two. Yeah, for a variety of reasons that I can get into with any questions. Okay, yeah. So that's kind of just year to date. I expect us with August and then half of September, if you consider the fact that we just, so everybody knows, we did transfer all the buildings Sunday.
Except this one.
Yes, all of the operating, the legacy building were transferred. So revenues obviously for the second half of September belong to somebody else, as do expenses. We will have tail expenses, obviously, from paying bills that occurred early in September, late in August. So we'll have, but I do expect us to still exceed the budget for the year, even with that. There's like the next month and a half that with our ownership. Okay. Any questions on that before we go to this year's the budget, the upcoming year? Okay. First page there should say annual operating budget, NFIL, cash flow based. Hopefully that's where everybody is. Again, I always, if you recall, I'll start with the assumptions of how the budget was put together. I'll do the NFIL, then I'll do the NRCRDA and a consolidation, okay? So the main assumption here is that, of course, that the lab will be transferred by the end of the year. Okay, that's how these financials have been put together.
But that appears to be on target?
It's moving slower than I thought, but I don't have a better timeline right now. I could say January, but right now that's still the target date to do. I'm waiting on FSU, frankly, to give me some information so that I can get to the EDA. But the EDA is expecting it. I've had conversations with the EDA, both grants. They're aware that there was going to be a request. I just am having a little bit of a hard time getting the specifics of the request from FSU. And it relates to the loan, if you recall. The $4 million loan is with the Research Foundation. Are they the ones who are going to get the building? Is it going to go to the Florida State Board of Trustees? They're struggling to give me that answer. As soon as I have that, the EDA guy is, in fact, reaching out, telling, hey, what do you need me to do? I mean, they're trying to help, I think. The other thing is that FSU is going to manage operations, member vetting, programming, basically all lab activities associated with tenants, membership, events. That's going to be all handled by FSU. They have staff. They've hired a lab manager. They have hired a program manager. They've hired a marketing person. They're identifying some other positions. So they are staffing up and operating this lab at their expense. This is all happening, I believe, under their ARC grant, if I'm not mistaken.
And what's their timeline to start having staff on board?
They're here. Oh no, they're in the building. They were in the building before any of us. They've got people here full time.
Okay.
Yeah, no, they have committed. And remember, if you remember, we did an MOU with those guys 2-3 months ago, and that was a deal. They're space in here for free, and they're operating the lab.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we're running everything we do, anything in terms of building modifications. We're working with them to figure out, we have our budget of FF&E left over. How do they want to prioritize how we spend that money? And again, we're limited to, that's got to be for FF&E. It can't be to paint the building. It can't be construction related, really. There's some crossover there, but primarily it's got to be for FF&E, of course.
And when do they expect to have members in the lab?
We've got three members already have executed agreements. One's in the lab, got some stuff here. Other ones are moving in sometime over the dates have already started. We may have to shift them, but they've executed, got our additional insureds. So they're just making sure the lab's ready. There's some floor issues. There's a couple things you have to get further prepared for that the lab manager is kind of driving the bus on, an OSHA, an EPA permit for things. Anyway, so we're working through those. But, yeah, there's aggressive moves. The tenants and the members for the space licensees would like to be in here yesterday. So the holdup right now is the building.
And the lab manager's name is?
Bradley Minton.
Okay.
He's here. Yeah, he's here today. And then he's the lab manager. There is a programming manager named Alyssa Costaville. I'm probably butchering her last name. And then there's Sloan, who is the marketing person, and I do not know Sloan's last name.
Wallace,
there you go. The other assumption here I've made, and again, we're talking about the window, if you will, when you think about my assumptions here, is through December. right, that the build-to-scale grant will not be transferred in that window. Maybe transferred later, maybe not, but I've made no assumptions about any changes to that build-to-scale grant in this window of our operating order. Because yeah, my assumption is January, FSU is responsible for everything, the utility bill, you name it. Just a reminder that we have an interest payment scheduled for this thing. It's the first interest payment is due in June 25. So my assumption contemplates we don't own the building and don't ever make that interest payment.
No.
Okay? And then lastly, of course, we are responsible for insurance, janitorial, landscape, utilities, there's a number of things we're responsible for as the building owner. And just for reference, you'll see, that means utility bills, $15,000 to $20,000 a month.
But does that transfer when we...
Of course, absolutely. But as long as we own the building, we're responsible for all those things. Does anybody have any question on those assumptions? The impact of that at a high level, you'll see there, operating expenses, $148,000, no revenues, right? Operating expenses, capital expenditures, primarily related to some work they want to do on the floors. That's going to cost far more than that. That's what we've got, if you will, in the construction account to spend on that. That does not fall under an FF&E kind of spending. So they can identify pieces of equipment they're interested in, but we can't spend construction money or the TCC appropriation money. It has to be FF&E. Okay. Detail for that $148,000 in expenses is on the page right behind it. So anyway, just to give you a little bit, I had a summary page and then a detail page. I'll give you a second to digest that. But you can see it's utilities, service, maintenance, repairs, cleaning, admin, and then insurance. This continues to be a real number. I just signed up for a pollution policy this week in advance of hopefully having members in here ASAP. Anybody have any questions on the NFIL piece? And to the extent that then drifts beyond January, or beyond December, remember, it's take this divided by three, it's 30, 40 grand a month is what it costs to keep it going. So that we have it.
And that's the stuff on our side.
Yep, that's just our stuff. Yep, because again, that's, yeah, that's the big one, of course, is power.
Yeah.
And then remember, and the more members we get, good and bad, right? They're going to consume more power, they're going to generate more waste, they're going to have all sorts of other things that drive. I mean, landscaping's not going to, I mean, there are a bunch of things that won't, but power, waste, custodial, those things will all increase somewhat if the place was full. Okay?
And FSU will begin to pick up the general maintenance of the building?
When it transfers.
At transfer date. Yep. Okay. That puts you in a different position.
Yes, sir.
Okay, all right.
But for Talcor, just so you know, FSU, and again, I'm off track from the budget meeting, but FSU has taken over Johnson and Morgan buildings and is keeping, for the time being, Talcor engaged just because they have so much history with the properties.
Yep.
I don't expect that to be forever, but I do expect that to be, they want to minimize disruption for tenants, they want to minimize the brain damage on their end of dropping balls, and so I think Stephanie and Dom are very valuable in that exercise.
Good.
Okay, then you turn to what I think is going to be your page 7 of 8, down at the bottom right. And this is the LCRDA financial model, and I'll go through the assumptions as well. As I mentioned earlier, the budgets are separated between NFIL and LCRDA. That we will continue CAM billing for all of fiscal year 2025. We're still maintaining the ponds, we're still maintaining any common areas, lighting, electrical, that we will continue that CAM billing for the whole year.
What happens after that year?
Well, my expectation would be we'll transfer all the other, I mean, ponds, roads, Danfoss, Avalanche, and that either FAMU and FSU will take care of all their own individual, I don't know what they'll do with the common areas, or they'll work out an arrangement. One of the things, if you recall, in our MOU was that FSU and FAMU would figure out a CAM arrangement. There's also elements of declarant rights, the hotel rights. There's other things that the parties have agreed to figure out. It wasn't time crucial to do, but that will be by the time we have the ultimate transfer. But so again, I've made the assumption, if they get it done sooner, that's okay too. It's just that I've made the assumption that we're going to do it for the whole year. Again, these are assumptions. I will be wrong on a number of these, especially in regards to the timing. Our expenses, of course, continue at the RDA level. We have coverages for insurance for general liability, for CAM, for directors and officers. All those policies are still real bills for us to continue with. The assumptions here you'll see in the financials is that we retain our existing payroll and staff for the fiscal year. So that's from October 1 to September 30 of next year. That is the assumption. Again, that is in the math below, right? And that we will use our reserves to fund cash needs. Obviously, we have $150,000 in our operating account right now. We have a substantial amount of money. We have $2.1 million, $2.2 million in reserves, and I'm including prime fund where we moved all that money. It's basically where all that money is earning interest. So we're picking up $4,000 or $5,000 a month still in interest from there.
Yeah.
But that we will be dipping into that probably within 60 to 90 days. We'll start pulling from that.
Okay.
Again, high level income statement here for your cash flow really is we'll pick up $100,000 in CAM. Remember, the good news of transferring the properties, all of a sudden Collins Building, Knight Building, all those buildings that were ours now will pay CAM. We'll pick up a little interest income. The other program interest just is a restitution we were getting from a former employee. And then I have made some very high level assumptions here that you'll notice here, tornado recovery. That between FEMA and between our insurance, that we'll get $200,000 to do all the repairs we need to do. That is just a very general, rough estimate. If you look down below, I'm assuming we're going to have $375,000 of costs. Based on most recent conversations, my $375,000 is probably very high, but it's conservative in terms of cash planning. That if, because we may have some timing issues on some of those things too. We may be spending the money first, getting the money later. But yes, so we probably won't be upside down $175,000. But that was the assumptions I was making at the time when I put this together. I don't have any other number I make will be another guess. So that's what I've done it is just to be conservative. So that if it nets at 200, then we're $175,000 better at the end of the fiscal year. In the scheme of things, in the magnitude of things, that doesn't really matter much.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, you know, so a couple of months. The net effect, as you'll see, is that our cash flow deficit on the RDA side is $737,000. You add in the $193,000 from the lab, and we're at about $930,000. The net impact on that is I expect to be around $700,000, $800,000 at the end of our fiscal year next year in the bank.
Okay.
Now, we won't own anything at that point in time.
Eisenhower.
Then we have Eisenhower. But that costs us anything. We have nothing other than payroll, Eisenhower, and we'll have to maintain. Remember, there's governance, there's accounting, there's reporting, there's other things to do.
Right.
But that's kind of the broad brush. I'm considering that my original analysis was that we would end this year at 1.7. We're going to be a little higher because I haven't spent the tornado money. There's a number of things we haven't spent, some of the construction stuff. We have a little more cash than I thought we'd have. I still assume we're going to spend that money. And so I still believe that, you know, $700,000 or $800,000 at the end of next fiscal year, based on these assumptions. Might be a little better. Could be $1 million. You know, if we don't have the tornado things, we're tightening up our, but it's an ongoing, I mean, Stephanie and I have been working on that now for 3.5 months since the tornado.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say we're getting closer with the insurance companies, but it's
incrementally
closer. Yeah. It would have been nice to have had all the repairs done. And we may be handing that money, actually, just for everybody's work. We may be taking the insurance proceeds and giving them to FAMU and FSU for them to do the work. They're probably not going to want us to do the work on their buildings.
That's true.
But we'll deal with that once we get that final. And that's really what I have on the budget. Again, we got the detail behind it if you want to look at the little detail on that page.
Okay, we're moving into really uncharted territory. I thank staff for putting together all the work. Annie, I know you've worked on this as well. I appreciate your input. Thank you, Michael, for your presentation. Are there questions to our staff? You've heard a presentation of a proposed budget for the fiscal year coming up 2025. If there are no other questions, is there a motion?
I do have a question, and it may, you know, span out beyond this budget ending in 25, but in terms of, so with the reserves,
mm-hmm.
that then should be able to take us through this period and...
I know there's different
scenarios, things...
It'll certainly take us through fiscal 2025, that's right. With doing everything I've contemplated, which again, just for your benefit, I tend to be conservative. So I tend to paint closer to a worst case scenario than I do a best case scenario. And did the same thing last year. That's not new this year. That's part of the reason I think we came in a little better is I was a little bit conservative on a number of things.
And then my other piece has to do with sponsorships, which, you know, I know a lot of times everybody thinks that's those are givens and that's the way of the world, but it's not. Sorry. But any, again, projections around?
Nobody's made any effort, frankly, and then since we're transferring the building, once we decided 6 months ago, really, that where we were headed, then we'd made zero effort on that.
Okay. Right.
That became a sort of a non-event.
Yeah.
And I had a feeling of that, if you think back last year's budget, when I presented it with and without sponsorships and grants.
Yeah. I just wanted to.
Fair question.
Okay, so those are my questions.
We anticipate ending 2025 year with what cash?
800 grand is, you know, it's going to, I would say 800 to a million, but.
Plus or minus?
Yeah, plus or minus 150 grand, I would say. Shouldn't be much lower than that. I feel like I've been conservative. I might live to regret that, saying that out loud.
All right, the presentation is that we consider presenting to the Executive Committee for its consideration a budget which shows a loss, operating loss of $709,000, with the understanding that we still would have at the end of that period approximately $800,000 in our investment portfolio or cash. Are there questions now? And any others? And if not, the chair would be glad to receive a motion to approve. Motion is made. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion is made and seconded. I will ask that there be a vote. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed by like sign. Motion carries. It's hard for me as a budget chair, and I know for you as members of this committee, to vote on a budget that says a $707,000 loss, but it is what it is. We are in a different position than this organization has been in ever, and it's wind down time, maybe. I'm not sure whether we have an exit plan. I know we don't have an exit plan, but we may have to develop one, or we may have to totally review what our mission will become. And that is to be handled by our new chair. A real big task. So any other comments before we close?
I would only ask that I went through that budget with you guys, if you have a recommendation of how I should do that differently for the executive committee or the full board, that it's a little easier, frankly, in such an intimate setting. But if any suggestions, you can call me offline individually if you want, or anything, if you think it would be an easier way to go through that, or maybe I have too much detail or too little, I'm perfectly receptive.
I liked exactly what you did.
Okay. Okay.
I think the biggest thing that I would say is, while you talked about the reserves aren't here, and I don't know if that helps people to make this a softer blow. I don't know, but that's something to think about.
Yeah, and that's why I think, to David's credit, is why I do try to present, look, at the end of this, where we end up is we still have $800,000 in cash at the end of the year. Maybe I start with that.
Before you vomit,
I want to tell you where we're going to end up September 30th next year.
I mean, that's just,
that's
for
fair.
Me,
that's fair. Good point. I will do that.
I think it just makes it a little more palatable and makes the landing softer.
It doesn't make the news
better.
It
doesn't change it, right? It doesn't change it, but it makes it.
I can happily do that.
As you said, holds back the vomit.
Yeah, just trying to. It's a technical term.
For the record.
You also have, under item A, a calendar for expectations. We went over that a little bit before we started the meeting. We are anticipating this going to our board on Thursday, our executive committee on Thursday, and our full board on October the 3rd. As we presented today, we'll go with a recommendation, and then we'll allow the executive committee to weigh on it, and at that point in time, they'll decide to present it to the board as presented here or as modified. If there are no other items to come before the budget committee at this point in time, we will stand adjourned.
Okay.